she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning to you. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Hiya. Hello. We're here every Saturday taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. And as always, autoflex.com if you want to see our great pre-owned cars. Apply for a lease online. Maybe get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in. You can do all of that right there at autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. And follow along with all the stories we talk about.
In fact, autoflex.com's Facebook page.
That's right, including GPS tracking bullets that police are now using. We'll get into that a little bit later, but if you want a sneak peek, that's where you go, autoflex.com's Facebook page.
That's really a great idea, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about
the
that.
The Facebook page or the...
No, the GPS yes. tracking bullets that the police have. So we'll talk about that, though. That's really cool.
But let's kick it off with one of my former favorite cars. The Mazda Miata is making its grand return.
You know, it's 25 years old this year, which seems impossible, but it was 1989 when the Mazda Miata first came out. And they are debuting the new Mazda Miata MX-5 in Japan this week. So it was actually Saturday the 4th when they showed the car for the very first time. And it's the first new model that they've unveiled in 9 years. It is a great-looking car. Again, you can go to the Autoflex Leasing Facebook page and like us, and you'll see a good picture of that new Miata. And it's just awesome. It's wider in the front, wider in the back, lower in the front, and just a great, great-looking automobile. You know, the Miata is the number one selling two-seater sports car in the history of the automobile business.
Wow.
Yeah. That was, you know, the production is just amazing. Just amazing.
It helps that it's been around for 25 years.
It does. That's the other thing. Most cars don't last that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
most models are...
Right.
Yeah.
It looks just like the former Miata to me.
Well, you know, they've sort of dropped the nose a little bit, and the headlights are, they look sort of like little eyes that are squinting or something.
They
flared out the fenders. I think those are LED headlights probably because they're so small. But it's just a great-looking car.
Is it only available in Japan, or that's just where they're launching it?
No, that's where they're launching it. It's going to be available for the 2016 model in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really cool car.
I can still remember when that first came out and people would go to the dealership and watch them unload their car because they were pre-ordered.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And pre-sold. You know, you couldn't just walk on the lot and get one. Once they started arriving, they were all
spoken for.
But people would go out to the dealership and watch them unload the cars.
Oh, my gosh.
They wanted to see their car.
Talk about having free time.
And I worked, I worked with a guy that was so stricken by the car that, number one, he ordered one in advance. He worked at Autoflex with us. His name is Louis Murad.
Louis, he's always getting the funky, cool new cars.
Louis is the cool car guy. He mm-hmm. always had the coolest cars. And so he pre-orders his, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one day I walk into his office and there is a picture of a giant Miata taking up one whole wall. And I'm talking about this thing's like 8 or 9 feet long.
I remember that picture.
It was a giant Miata picture, right?
Like and life size.
Yes, that was on his wall. But he had his Miata and he zipped around town. And if they're great cars, I'm glad to see them coming out with this new MX-5. They're just really cool. And I think the sales will be really, really good on this car. It's not a terribly practical car. I mean, it's not, if you got kids, you're not taking the kids around in it and stuff.
Right.
But if you want a great little two-seater sports car that runs like a top and is a good performance driving car, it's fabulous.
You know, we talk about perceptions of cars, and I always thought this was a women's car. And I remember in high school, my best friend Jamie and I went on a road trip to Galveston, and we're flying down whatever highway it is you take to get there, and we look over. Okay.
Yeah. At 110, probably.
Probably, yeah, in my old Maxima. And this guy pulls up next to us, and he's in a convertible blue Miata, and he was really cute. He looked like Robert Downey Jr. in Weird Science. and he had a dog in the front seat, like a Weimaraner, and the dog was buckled in too. And we were like, oh my gosh, look at that dog. And right as we did that, he turns over and flashes this perfect straight teeth, white smile, and squirts a water gun at us.
That's hilarious.
And we took a picture because, of course, we had a little disposable camera with us, and I still have it somewhere. But at the time, I was like, whoa, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
But the fun thing is, I say, if you do have a convertible, all those people that are driving around, and you need to have water guns.
Yeah.
Makes me think of floating down the river.
Yes.
And some of the boats or floats, some of those people would have those giant water guns. All of a sudden, you just get sprayed. What?
But, I mean, at 16, I didn't care. But now, I mean, I just had my car washed yesterday. If you squirt me with your water gun, I might have to hunt you down.
Brother.
I'm so uptight.
And you've got a great Autoflex leasing car. We have to say that.
That's right. Yes. I love my Lexus from Autoflex.
And I want to mention real quick, this is just a tip for everybody that I learned when I had a little classic Mustang. I learned it from the car club. When you have a nice paint job on your car, you always want to get the bird tooth duty off of there right away. And so when you have that freshly clean car and then the only parking spot is near a tree, or
yes,
even if you're not near a tree and you come out and there's that, get some of that Meguiar's exterior car cleaner and keep some old clean T-shirts in your trunk. And then if you get out to your car and there's ever bird poop on there, go ahead and squirt that on there. Never try to wipe off the car while it's dry, because that'll grind the dirt or whatever into the paint. But squirt that on there, get it nice and wet, use that T-shirt, wipe it off, and you're good to go. Because you don't want that stuff to eat through the clear coat.
And that's the point. That bird poop you're talking about is pure acid.
Oh.
Ugh.
Yeah. And so it's uremic acid, in fact. And it will absolutely chew through a paint job if you let it sit long enough. Or if the car is really, really hot, it doesn't take very long. So you should clean it off right away.
I went out to dinner with a friend once and foolishly parked under a tree. I don't know what it came out, and car was covered.
Mm-hmm.
It was winter. It was dark. I went home and washed my car in my driveway.
Oh, my gosh.
I was not going to bed with that bird poop all over my car, because I just knew.
Well, and the other thing is, somebody might think that
awful.
They have clear coat and that would protect them. It protects the color on the car, but the bird poop will eat through the clear coat, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Test, we've already started. What is the process of purchasing a car over the internet? I'm looking at a new 2015 Acadia SLT1 in Houston for $35,500. Okay, if it's a brand new car, it's a little simpler because you're just dealing with the dealer that has the car and the price. Then all you've got to do is figure out a way to get through his finance department without spending a whole lot more money to get your car. If that is a pre-owned car, it's entirely different because someone else, a couple of things, someone else has owned the car. If it is a current year model pre-owned car, you got to really check it out very closely, because people don't generally trade in a brand new car unless there's a reason. And it may be that the car has been in an accident. It may have been underwater. There's a lot of things it could be. So,
but on the brighter side, it could have been repoed.
And it could have been repoed, exactly. Which means that it may not have been taken care of well. So that's the other thing. Have it checked out if it's pre-owned. That's my bottom line advice. We use property damage appraisers. They're based in Fort Worth. They have appraisers all over the country. Get an appraisal company to look at the car, check it for damage, check it for flood damage. Make sure that it's not been repainted and all that neat stuff. And then at least you go in with some peace of mind. That's what we do when we buy a car that we can't actually see, touch, feel, and smell.
Have somebody else check it out first.
Right. Another Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. When trading in a vehicle, why don't they go by the Kelley Blue Book trade-in and retail values?
You know, that's a great question. Here's why. They go by what the market is for the car locally. And Kelley Blue Book, like a lot of books, are published over big regional areas. And a car could be worth $400 or $500 more or less where you are. And that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, what we do is we call it a mini auction. We go online, we look at the auctions, we look at Kelley Blue, we look at Black Book, we look at NADA. We don't really look at retail, because that's not the question.
Yeah.
The question is, what is the car worth as a trade-in? And there's a lot of different sources out there. And we'll even call wholesalers. If we think we can get more money from a wholesaler to help you get out of your trade, we'll call the wholesaler. But that's why someone doesn't go to Kelley Blue and look at their retail, and just because you have to be sure that the price you're giving is the right price of the car for in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yes, and retail is really only what somebody will pay you for the car. So if you want to get retail for your own car, then you need to get into the car business, basically, and sell it on your own, mm-hmm. which means you become a salesperson. You have to show the car, have it ready to go. You have to meet all the strangers.
Right.
You know, all the you get to deal with the public. It's fun most of the time. But you have to have the time to do it. And most of us are really, really busy. So a trade-in is easier. Plus, you get sales tax credit toward your new vehicle or used vehicle, whatever you're buying. That gets traded in, so you get to save a little before you're taxed on the next car. So you really have to think about, well, am I also recovering the additional tax savings I would have if I traded in the car?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's an older model car and it's a $1,500 to $2,000 car, that's a, believe it or not, an easier car to sell because there are a lot of people looking for a cash car. But again, you're still dealing with the public, so you have to have the time and field the calls and so forth.
Yeah, and let a stranger test drive your car while you ride in the front seat.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, but you got to do that.
I know, because they're going to want to, and you can't let them just take off with your wheels.
I promise you, that's just the smart way to do it. Okay, Autoflex Leasing Fantex, this is a really, really good question. Over Labor Day, I traded in my Tacoma. I got a new Civic, agreed with the salesman, then went to finance, signed the final contracts, left with my new car. Then they called me back and said the bank would not accept the APR. They asked me to come back in. They tore up the old contract. And is that, and what are your thoughts on that? Okay, well, first of all, if they tore up the old contract, at that point, you don't have a transaction anymore. So you can give them the car back if you want to, or you can work with them from that point on and determine what they can do for you. But at the same time, you could also look at what other people could do for you because you're no longer locked in. Mm-hmm. If they tell you that first contract is no good, then the whole thing's no good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've given them money, they have to give it back to you. They can't keep your money. That's another thing most people don't realize. If you give a car place money to buy a car and then they, for whatever reason, can't do what they say they're going to do, they can't keep your money.
Right.
Yeah. So
when I was a finance manager at the dealership, before I came to Autoflex, before I was worked crazy hours, and I mean, I definitely made a brilliant move moving to Autoflex because I was working myself silly.
Mm-hmm.
But we signed people up. You know, you didn't know for sure. As a finance manager, you pretty well knew your bank programs, how they were going to buy. I could review someone's credit and know exactly what tier level they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you'd get a surprise. But if you had one that was questionable, you'd still put them on a contract because you wanted to get the people contracted and committed and in their car and let
right.
them be happy. But there was an additional form that they signed that said, if for some reason this is not approved, we need to come back and start all over.
Mm-hmm.
But it was wide open. They could just give it back. If the interest rate didn't work and the new payment didn't work for them, all bets were off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So you do have that option.
A lot of people don't realize they have the option, though, at that point of changing if they want to. So, and that's what this gentleman's question was. Do I have to take that deal? They said I could leave in my trade-in. Well, that's exactly what they should have told you. You mm-hmm. can take your trade-in and leave.
Okay.
The smart thing is they didn't sell his trade-in before they
yes.
got their deal because I've actually heard people, I've had people call me and go, you know, I traded in my car. They gave me a new car. Now they want me to come back and sign a new contract, and they say they've sold my trade-in.
Mm.
They say it. They haven't right. sold that trade-in before your contract will cash.
No.
You're not allowed to legally?
Well, I don't know about legally, but nobody in their right mind would do that. So they tell you that just to try to lock them in,
right.
lock you in. But the reality is they have not sold your car. And if they have, they've got to get it back for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not a...
Sneaky.
They've got to get it back, and they've got to give it back to you because you're starting all over at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio. Write this down. 877-881-1053 or send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can call Autoflex. Write these numbers down. What are they, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. As always, autoflex.com where you can apply for a lease online, learn about leasing, see all of our great pre-owned cars. Set up a test drive in advance. Now, think about that. Think about it, because if you want to drive a Toyota Camry, a Honda Accord, and a Ford Fusion, set it up online. Go to autoflex.com, say these are the three cars I want to drive. I want to be there Monday at 4 p.m. We'll have them lined up side by side for you.
With so the
you
can AC drive on. Them.
Absolutely. Actually, it's supposed to be a little cooler by Monday, I think.
Okay, that'll help.
Yeah, it'll
but
help.
It's still AC weather.
Yes.
In the break, we were just talking about the Mecum Auto Auction, and I've heard of this, but I wasn't quite as familiar. But, David, you said it's going on this weekend.
That's right. In fact, today is the big day at the Mecum Auto Auction at the K. Bailey Hutchins Convention Center downtown Dallas. It'll start at 10 a.m. this morning. They have auctioned or will auction over 12,000 classic cars at this Dallas auction. Today, they'll have cars from $10,000 to over $1 million.
Crazy.
They've got some of the coolest cars that you will ever see. So if you're a real car guy or car gal, get down to the K. Bailey Hutchins Center today. The Mecum Auto Auction is going on. You can watch them roll these cars across the line. Watch these people bid on these cars for $200,000, $500,000. Even over $1 million for some of these cars. It's going to be really exciting.
Now, if you buy a $1 million car, do you actually drive it? I mean, I would think you'd put it in a trophy case or something. I wouldn't want anybody to touch it or breathe on it or anything.
I wouldn't either, personally, but some people probably. You know, the interesting thing about the Mecum to me and all these auctions is these guys, there are collectors from all over the country. In fact, there's a lot of people that's total investments are cars. There's a doctor in Dallas that I know that never invested in stocks. All he's done is bought and sold classic cars for years, and now he's got a huge collection, and they're worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But these guys come to these auctions with a car to sell, and they buy one before they leave.
Funny.
They get rid of their 67 Pontiac GTO Judge, and they find a 1963 Corvette or something, and they buy the vet, and they take the vet home in the same trailer that they brought the Judge in.
And let me tell you, having a classic car will garner more attention than any new car.
Yeah.
You can ever get. I had no idea whenever I did have my 67 Mustang, whenever I took it out, all kinds of, what do you got under the hood? Rev it up for me. I had one guy ask if he could pump my gas at the gas station.
Oh, hello.
I said no.
What year was this?
60. Oh, when did I have it?
Yeah. I mean, it was
97 and 8.
So it was pretty old then. It was 30 years then. Old. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
it was cool.
Even if you're not planning to buy a car, though, it'd be nice to go stroll through and look at all the different cars out there.
Definitely.
I think most of the people that go to the Mecum are not there to buy a car because there's like I say, they're going to run over 12,000 cars during this auction in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So it's a great, great place to people watching Car Watch.
And if you are a car guy or car gal, most of the time, people have their favorite driving song. If they're going on a road trip or if they need to get pumped up, they like to put in the tape, cassette tape.
How about an 8-track?
Yeah, they like to put it, pop in the old 8-track and
well,
get their tune on.
We go.
So we've got a list of the songs that were voted.
That's
best driving
I picked
songs.
Right there.
What is this?
Blondes and Black Cars.
It's old.
I've
but it's great driving music.
Lane said he'd never heard of it either.
1985, I don't know this song.
I've never even heard of Autograph.
Neither have I.
It's perfect for you though, Tam. Blondes and Black Cars.
So there was a great article this week in the auto blog by an English writer about American cars and American car music. And this guy, you know, is from London, and he notes that they were all greatly in envy of the fabulous muscle cars we had in the 60s and the 70s and the 50s because they had nothing like that over there. They have no room. It's a tiny place. Tammy pointed that out. It's a little, you know,
yeah.
It's not like here where you got miles and miles of highway you can just get on and crank up the radio. So part of the article he wrote was all about Steely Dan and the great car songs and the driving songs that they'd written. And it made me start thinking about everybody's got their favorite driving songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What are your favorite driving cars, Autoflex Leasing Band
text? Yeah, the favorite driving songs. You can text in and let us know. Lane said anything by the Beach Boys.
Yeah, which makes this show really easy to run because we got like three or four of them every time.
Yeah, I'm an old Beach Boys fan. Pretty well anything that was on Surf and Safari, that album is great driving music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 409 and Little Deuce Coupe and
Steely
all of those.
Dan.
Fun. But anyway, there's lots of other favorite driving songs that are out there. If you go to List, you can see just unbelievably numbers of favorite driving songs. Drive My Car by the Beatles, Little Red Corvette by Prince. There you go. Thank you. Lane is so good. Dancing Queen by ABBA. The other thing I found interesting was I found a list of songs that people said made them not want to drive the car.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's see.
Let the dogs out.
Yeah. How about Caribbean Queen by Billy Ocean?
I love that song.
Or, for driving?
Or,
I don't care. I just like it. It could be driving. It could be house cleaning. Whatever.
Pretty well, they just said this
pretty
makes
well
them
anything
want to change the station.
By Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah, I'm out on that.
Papa Don't Preach by Madonna.
Yeah, I like that song too.
I don't know. These are people that wanted. They just wanted to change the channel. I like Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I hate The Boss.
You do?
Yeah. Oh. I know it's so un-American of me, but not a fan.
Life is a Highway, Tim Cochran.
Ew, no.
What?
How about Highway to Hell?
You like that one, don't you? A little AC/DC.
I hate AC/DC.
Oh,
we are
oh,
not
no.
going to any
heresy.
Concerts
music
together.
Festivals together, apparently.
How about Get Your Motor Running?
No.
Born to Be Wild, Steppenwolf.
Yuck.
Oh, what? You're kidding me.
I am not a classic rock fan. Oh. I will have you know, I'm a hip-hop and alternative music kind of girl.
All right, well, give
music.
Us a hip-hop driving song that you like.
We've played it before, like, I woke up in my new Bugatti.
That's right.
That you could do. I mean, there's a bunch of different songs, but no, I like some of the older stuff from the 80s, but just not a lot of it. Like,
how about Prince, Little Red Corvette?
Yeah, Prince is okay.
Okay.
That's
Sweet Emotions?
By Aerosmith?
Yeah.
That one's okay.
Oh, good.
I'd probably
good
punch one. Out. If it came on the radio, I'd flip around to
Thanks,
something
Cooper.
Else.
How about the number one song on this list?
Journey.
What? Yes!
Okay,
turn this up.
All right, now we can go. Now we can go to the
yeah.
music festivals together.
Put the pedal to the metal. Roll the windows down. Open the sunroof. Everybody, just a small town girl. Woo!
I lost
Living
control.
In a lonely
I totally lost
world.
Control.
We're all supposed to sing together,
yeah.
and you can sing along in
right
your car
there.
With us. Everywhere.
You all should have a picture of this. She's happy now.
All right. Ridiculous dancing going
Did
on.
Did anybody else have an opinion about a song that they love to drive to?
You know what I like? I absolutely hate country music, but for some reason on road trips, I think it's because for a long time you couldn't get signals in between all the small towns. So you'd pick up like, well, we're two of a kind, working on a full house. And that I ended up liking like some old school country.
Okay.
But that is good on a road trip, but otherwise I don't usually listen to it.
Yeah.
Golden Earring was mentioned here.
Yes.
Yes.
What's the song?
Radar Love.
And it's called the Radar Love.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that died.
Yeah.
Did it?
Next.
All right. Well, it's just in time for a commercial break anyway, so we're going to jam out to some Journey, and we'll see you back on the other side with the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or shoot us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. As always, you can and should call AutoFlex next time you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. AutoFlex.com, where you can see our great pre-owned cars. You can apply for a lease or a loan online right there, or you can learn a whole lot about leasing and buying a car. A lot of good information. By the way, reviews, if you'd like to check AutoFlex's reviews, go to AutoFlex.com, click on our review page, and we have video reviews from other customers just like you.
Mm-hmm. So now they're talking about, you know, of course we have electric cars already on the roads, but now there might be electric race cars.
Yeah, in fact, this next week, there will be the first Formula E battery race car in Beijing, China. And these are going to be the equivalent of F1 racers, except they've all got electric engines.
Interesting.
Now, yeah, it's going to be a lot different because, number one, you won't have the fuel smell that burns your eyes.
Well, that's
and
true.
And you know, from the methane, and you will not have the alcohol, and you will not have the sound.
That's going to be weird.
Yeah, because race cars are really loud.
Yeah.
One of my earliest memories was that my dad took me to a race, a car race.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how old I was. I just remember that the sound scared me. I must have been very young, and I cried. We had to leave.
Well, and for folks that have been to Indy or they've been to TMS, you know how loud the Formula Ones or the NASCARs can be. But here's the deal. One of the things that the drivers say is the most unnerving is no sound.
No sound.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they're used to the roar and they floor it and it roars. The other thing is with an internal combustion engine, it winds up. So when you pour the gas to it, it takes it a little bit of time as it accelerates.
Mm-hmm.
Electric engines, not so much. When you pour the gas to them, they go instantly. So it's
weird.
Like zim, you know?
Or the energy or the electricity, whatever it is. Yeah, they instantly. So you could really spin out so easily because you don't have that rev up time to get going. They just automatically, they're just spinning.
The other difference is that the races will only last an hour. Guess why?
Because that's all the battery will last.
That's all the batteries last. So
they're not going to sell near as much beer. And
no.
Yeah, really.
But you know what? In Beijing, they got horrible air over there. They've got yellow air. So, you know, they're really pushing everything they can that would be electric because they've got so much smog.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that race will take place in Beijing. They haven't really announced that the e-battery car, the Formula E battery car races will be held everywhere. They're planning one maybe in London, but they haven't set exact dates.
Interesting. I want to know if any of the drivers were in other series before this.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're all Formula One drivers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be so hard for them to get used to. But
they've been testing it out. They've been testing the whole thing. They've already done like a whole track to prepare for this.
Mm-hmm.
And from the race to the presentation of awards and everything else,
yeah.
They've been practicing this so it goes off pretty seamlessly in China.
They're hoping
right?
so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested to find out how that goes.
Okay, we talked about the Corvette Museum and the sinkhole.
Remember that, everybody?
That sunk all those those classic Corvettes. Well, they were going to leave the sinkhole open. If you remember, we did the story. Well, they decided they can't do that. The engineering cost and the safety risk would not be good if they left even a part of the sinkhole open. So they're going to repair the Corvette Museum, and they're going to restore three of the classic Corvettes that were destroyed or mostly destroyed when they fell three stories into the earth.
Wild.
Yeah, it's sort of crazy. GM is paying for the restoration. They've pledged over $250,000 to restore those three vehicles. The other vehicles won't be restored, and they are going to continue. They'll have a complete program though, talking about the sinkhole mm-hmm. and the recovery and all of the work that was done. So if you get a chance to go to that museum, it's just north of Nashville, Tennessee. It's a really cool place, and I know a lot of people that have gone.
Now, do you think this happened because they didn't get enough people who wanted to go see a sinkhole?
No. In fact, their visitation went up 30% after the sinkhole.
Oh, okay.
It costs so much to – you got to think about all the ramifications of what happens if somebody actually fell in.
Yeah.
The safety and then the long-term maintenance to
– Exactly.
to maintain your sinkhole?
To maintain your hole. You know, it's expensive to maintain a good hole.
That's what they tell me.
Okay. Rebates. Luxury brands are leading the rebates going into the 2015 model year. Luxury vehicles leading the way because there's the most room in there, to be honest with you. BMW is the biggest spender among luxury brands on rebates, and they have increased their rebate spending by 45%. Now, let me tell you what this does, though, guys. It hurts the resale mm-hmm. value of the vehicles. And we're seeing more and more rebates, which are great for you when you're buying the car and not so good for you when you're selling the car mm-hmm. because the rebates help them sell more of that particular model and make, which means when you get ready to sell yours, there'll be more used ones available at that time, bringing your resale price down. So it's good for the dealer to help sell the new car, not so great for the consumer coming out of the pre-owned car.
Which just goes to prove you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is true. Well, and it's according. I mean, again, it's good for the manufacturer. The rebates have gone up 5.5% this year per vehicle. That's an average of $2,100 a vehicle over the entire spread of all the vehicles. That's a lot. Now, it does drive new car sales. I saw rebates as high as there's a Jag XF with a $12,500 rebate on it right now.
Yowza.
And guess why? Because they're not selling. So they got to do something.
And let me tell you, now there's your answer if you need to cover a bunch of negative equity.
Exactly, yeah.
But that really only works if you are going into a more expensive vehicle because they have those large advances and you are limited to finding the vehicle that'll work there. But those are the kinds of things that we can do for you at Autoflex. If you bring us a problem, for example, you've driven way too many miles on your current vehicle, lease or whatever, and so you're way upside down, but you really need to make a move for some reason, we can research all the deals out there, like this Jag. Other cars might have a big rebate. Just based on what you need, we'll look for the deals there and find a way to help you get unburied, if that makes sense.
And it's really difficult to find all of the rebates in one place. Now, we have access to that because we have programs that do that. As a consumer, Cars.com is probably the best place I found with the most rebates. But here's what it doesn't show you. It never shows you the trunk money.
Right.
And that's the money the manufacturer pays the dealer that the consumer never finds out about. So, and of course, at Autoflex, we know about that. That's part of our business because we get those discounts when we. So, if you owe more on a car than the car's worth and you need to trade it, give us a call because there's lots of great rebates out there that'll help cover that for you.
Okay.
And the better your credit, the more likely you are to get a bigger advance from the bank, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's one more reason to maintain your credit in case you ever need to dig yourself out of a hole.
Right. But when you are getting a new car, might want to check and see if there's a spare tire in the trunk.
True. You know,
along with the trunk money.
This is a really big thing. More and more cars are being sold without spare tires. And they say that it's because it makes the car lighter, and so it gives it a higher MPG rating on the window. And that's true. Here's what else. It saves them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about $300 a car not to have to put a spare tire in. And so what most of the manufacturers or the manufacturers that have done this are doing is they're putting a can of Fix-A-Flat, basically, some sealant in there with either a compressor or the can actually is supposed to blow up the tire. Some cars come with run-flat tires, and they don't have spares either.
Right. You don't need a spare.
But the reality is the run-flat tire costs a whole lot more than a standard tire its size.
That's true.
So when you have a flat, You got to still get another tire, and when you get another tire, it's going to be very expensive.
I recall, we'll circle back to Mazda being a great vehicle. One of my clients that came to me, she already had researched all the car. She knew what she wanted was a Mazda RX-8. Do you guys remember the Mazda RX-8? They didn't have a spare, not from the factory. You could mount one in the back, but it took up all the trunk space. It was very expensive to do because they had to put in this special bracket, and then you had the tire on top of that, which then you lost the little bit of trunk space you had.
Right.
She decided to go ahead and go with the Fix-A-Flat once we figured out it was going to be about $800 to put that spare in there. She decided she'd take a chance. I said, well, call me if you have a flat. I'll get you.
That's the thing. If you have a flat and you don't have a spare, maybe the can of Fix-A-Flat works, but if you've got a cut in the sidewall or if the tire's really damaged, if it blew out, you're stuck.
Roadside assistance.
Yeah, you're stuck waiting for someone. Now, the spread of cars that no longer have spare tires.
Surprising.
It's crazy. Acura RLX, Audi TT, Buick LaCrosse, Cadillac CTS, SRX, XTS, Chevrolet Camaro, Malibu Spark, Volt, Dodge Caliber, Dodge Dart, Fiat 500, Ford C-Max, the Ford Focus, Fusion, Mustang, the Honda Accord, the Hyundai Accent, Elantra, Sonata, and Veloster. The Infiniti Gs do not have a spare. The Kia Forte, Rio, and Soul, Land Rover, Range Rover Sport. That one surprised me.
Me too.
Mazda MX-5 Miata,
the new one,
the new iMEV from Mitsubishi, their electric cars, the Nissan Leaf. None of the little electric cars are going to have spares, by the way,
right,
to cut down on the weight. Porsche 911, Porsche Boxster, Porsche Panamera, Scion, XQ, Smart for two. Mm-hmm. There's no place for a spare.
No.
Toyota Prius, Volvo C70, Volvo S60. You can see the complete list at Autoflex.com. Like our Facebook page. You'll see the story.
So interesting, though. I bet you that's going to be something that a lot of people end up doing down the road.
Yeah, we'd all like to get rid of our spare tire.
Exactly.
Me particularly, yeah. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, how do you feel about the vehicle cross? I like the car. It's a good-looking car. It has got a lot of rebate money on it right now. It was one of the cars I noticed when I was going through the rebate story. So that is a that's a good question. And it's really a good car. In fact, Buick has had a huge, huge jump in their business. Their business is up almost 30% this year. And they attribute it to that ad campaign with the people looking directly at a Buick and going, that doesn't look like a Buick.
Yeah.
So they have sort of reinvented the Buick. And Coca-Cola is now looking at the ad campaign that Buick did because Coke says they need to sort of be reinvented themselves. And Buick has had such great success with it. But I'm not sure you can say, that doesn't look like a Coca-Cola. I don't know.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is great driving music. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. If you want to send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text, 43733 are the numbers that you dial. You can also dial these numbers if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle.
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. You know, more and more people actually call us on the phone now. For a while, everyone contacted us by internet, but it's starting to evolve back because it's just easier for people, I think, when they can actually follow up a question with a question.
Yes.
So
give them a call.
Give us a call. I was just thinking about a caller that had texted in. Give us a call, and we'll be glad to help you get out of the old car and into your new car. And we can do most of the work over the phone. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I did all mine over the phone. It took about maybe 20 minutes, and then I've told the story before, but they brought my car up here to the radio station, and I signed the paperwork and picked up the keys in a commercial break. So it's very easy. Autoflex will come to you, but the first step is giving them a call or going online to autoflex.com. So earlier we mentioned that police now are using GPS tracking bullets, and they've actually started doing it. This is a crazy story.
Yeah, in Iowa and Florida, there are tests going on right now, and here's how it works. There's basically an air cannon built into the front of the police car. It sits behind the grill. You know what they shoot, like, T-shirts up into the stands
yeah.
with? That's basically what it is.
Wow.
And the policeman can push one button on his dashboard, and a gate opens up on his grill, and the cannon fires a sticky GPS unit that hangs on the back of whatever car they're chasing. So they're in a police chase, and normally they're extremely dangerous because they're driving very fast, they're running red lights, they're turning corners where they shouldn't, they're going through blind intersections wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So now they push a button, they fire this sticky GPS bullet, it hits the back of the car they're chasing, and then they can just slow down.
Go, go, gadget GPS!
Because they got a track on them.
It's so high tech, I love this.
Well, and it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
So now, so yeah. Now the people that are driving the car, they see the policeman lay back, and they go, well, we can slow down. It all just got safer.
Yeah. So there's your lesson. Don't slow down if you're running from the police.
Stop it.
You keep going.
So anyway, the police all have computers in their cars. The tracker is set up so that all the policemen everywhere can see exactly where that car is.
I love this.
It's really hard to get away at that point.
Mm-hmm. It's called Star Chase, and I thought this was interesting. To put it onto the police car, it costs $5,000, and each bullet is $500.
That's your tax-paying dollars at work right there.
I guess it's kind of worth it, though, if they catch the people and get them off the streets.
Well,
yeah,
if they don't kill somebody chasing
avoid
them.
Avoid running over somebody in one of those chases would be the primary thing.
Star Chase.
Anyway, they're testing him right now in Iowa and Florida, and I'm sure that we may see them on a police car close to us soon.
Yeah, that would be cool. And if they could put a little camera on it so you could actually have almost like a GoPro view where it's and it shoots onto the car, and then you watch what happens.
Quick Autoflex Leasing fan text. Is it just me, or are there very few Infiniti G37 coupes around? Also, is it better to sell your car yourself and then buy the car outright with the money you get? A couple of things. G37 coupes are probably not any more or less available than most other cars right now. It may be where you're looking. We specialize in finding people cars. So if you want to give us a call, and we'll find you a bunch to choose from. The idea of selling your own car, you will get more money for your car than you will if you trade it in, if you sell it to an individual retail price. The downside is you've got to deal with a whole lot of people that are going to come to your house or come drive the car. That's part of it. The other thing is when you trade in your car, you get a credit on sales tax for the difference in the price of the two cars. So if you're buying a $30,000 car and your car is worth $20,000, you only pay sales tax on $10,000. That saves you $1,200 in this case, roughly. You got to figure how much is your car worth and how much are you going to save in taxes if you trade it in. Then is it worth the difference to sell the car yourself? And you've also got to worry about being paid if you sell the car yourself.
Yes.
I did sell mine on my own, advertised it on eBay, and a fellow came down from, I think it was Michigan.
Wow.
But I had him bring certified funds. We went to the bank. He transferred the money in there. I made sure it was all good because people can even bring a cashier's check that's fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know.
Right.
And so, I don't know. You really better get a lot more money for your car to start fooling with the public. Not that I don't love the public, you know. But here's the funny part. They'll call and get just like it is with us. They'll call and start negotiating the price before they've ever even come to see the car.
Right.
They'll offer you much less for it. And I, you know, of course, I laughed a couple times because I'd already priced my car just right. It was clean as a pin, very low mileage. And, you know, they're already, I said, you haven't even seen this car. And you're trying to negotiate down. I said, this is a pristine car. You come see it. And if you don't think it's worth what I'm asking, then maybe we'll talk.
And that was an example of a car that probably should have been sold by the owner because it was an older car with very low miles, mm-hmm. and it was a good car. It was an Acura TL, and so that car it's got a long life, very few problems. The gentleman that bought the car was from where?
Michigan, up there where they're all rusted out by 10
exactly.
years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because
so
of the salt on the roads.
A car like that is worth a lot in Michigan because it's not rusted out. It's
yeah,
an older car, very low miles, not worth near as much here.
Probably.
But also, if somebody's trying to haggle over the phone, maybe they don't want to waste their time also coming to look at the car before they,
perfectly
if it's out of the price range. Or
yeah.
Perfectly understandable. But and here's the other thing. That fellow sent an inspector to look at the car before he flew down here.
Smart.
To pick
Smart
it up.
Guy.
He did. He sent somebody who checked out the car completely under the, you know, the engine, everything on the interior. He said, you don't have any kids, do you? I said, why you ask? He said, your back seat's pristine. There's no
nobody's ever
kick marks
back
on
there.
The back of your seat. I said, you're right.
Okay.
My dogs have been back there, and that's it.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, what do you guys think about the Toyota Tundra compared to its domestic competition? It's a great question.
Solid.
And the Tundra is going to have higher, it's going to cost more going in, and it's going to have more resale value coming out. If you compare the trucks across the board, domestic and against the Tundra, for the first 4 or 5 years, they're pretty well identical. They're none of them going to give you a lot of problems or anything. Long term, if you're keeping the car forever, the Tundra is going to have less long term problems historically than the domestics will, as far as needing repairs and things. Higher cost, higher resale value.
Okay. Another AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. What are your thoughts on the 2014-2015 GMC Acadia?
It's a great car. I like the car a lot. There's really not a lot of bad cars. The Acadia has got a lot of really, really good features, some cool stuff they've done that make it a great weekend vehicle, stuff like that. They've got, you know, plug-ins.
I think the midsize SUVs are just the best vehicles
yeah.
for any kind of family situation.
Well, and what they've done is they've moved the wheels out so there's more flow room. You don't have the wheels intruding into the passenger compartment in the front or in the back. So they're a lot more user-friendly than they used to be. All of them are really, there's not really a lot of bad cars anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, there yeah. really aren't. That's the good part.
Yeah, because we've talked about how Kia has come a long way.
Hyundai, I really feel, has come a long way. Kia has great design.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet long term on their engine and transmission and electric. I don't know really on Kia that much if mm-hmm. it's going to be. It doesn't have as high a resale value.
Right.
I love this. AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. How would a Subaru SUV compare with a Ford Escape? For people that drive Subarus, there's no comparison.
You can't pry them out of their hands.
They won't ever drive anything but a Subaru. I'm really not familiar with their SUV. I've driven plenty of Escapes, but I haven't driven the Subaru, so I can't really give an opinion on quality on the car. I know that they maintain good resale value, and their ownership is one of the most loyal in the entire industry.
One of the reasons they maintain such high value is they don't overbuild that vehicle. They don't build so many that they have to put giant rebates out there to move them. They aren't rental cars. As far as I know, nobody carries them as a rental car anywhere. So when you do that, you definitely you're going to keep your car's value a little bit higher because you're buying something unique. But you pay a little more for it.
Right.
But they're very reasonably priced. So I'm a fan of the Subaru.
Mm-hmm. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, are the new diesel motors on average more or less environmentally friendly than their gasoline counterparts? The new diesel engines have to have an additive that scrubs the fuel and makes them very environmentally friendly, but the additive itself is expensive. And so I don't know. I know on the trucks it's a big consideration because it makes the new diesel trucks cost a lot more because of the additive that scrubs the fuel. It makes them very environmentally friendly, though.
But if you want to be green, you got to spend green.
That's really right. It costs more.
Yeah.
It does.
I mean, just to ask the Tesla people, we're giving $1 billion for Tesla to build this green. I'm sure the
Nevada
government is.
Nevada
okay.
is.
Okay. Yeah. Nevada is, but I'm sure there's some federal money in there, too. But they're giving them all this money to go build this huge. They're not doing it on their own. They don't have to build their own plant. The state's giving it to them.
They got $1.3 billion from Nevada. Panasonic is going to finance between 30 and 40% of it. So there'll be Tesla money in there, but there's a whole lot of seed money going into the new gigafactory that they're putting in Nevada. A couple of interesting things. Elon Musk says it's going to be a tourist attraction. It's going to be diamond-shaped, and it will face true north so that they can geolocate and operate with geolocating robots everything inside the factory.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. And they did get $1.3 billion from Nevada, which is the new location is 4 hours by road from their home offices in Fremont, California. So makes a lot of sense. Texas was one of the main players. I'm not sure they weren't stringing along everyone else just to get the offers up from Nevada. Mm. And they got a heck of a program from Nevada to build that plant there.
I love how technology forward they are. I mean, that's so high tech and robotic and futuristic. I think it's going to be cool to see stuff like that down the road.
It is. He's also, Elon Musk is a genius because he manages always to look like a victim. Right now, he's battling with the folks in Georgia because he got rights to sell cars in Georgia, saying that he would sell less than 150 electric sedans per year, and they were all custom designed within the specifications of the customer. That's how he got the right to open a store there. Well, now the dealers are all screaming because he's already sold a lot more than 150 cars, and none of them were custom designed. But he's saying that he will use all means necessary to defend itself and the rights of consumers to decide how they spend their hard-earned money. Well, guess what, folks? He makes all the money if he owns the stores.
I don't think we have full control because it sounds like Nevada residents are... Did they vote to give him all that money?
No.
Good question.
No.
Guess we put the people in office that make those decisions.
Texas would have given him the money if they could have and gotten the factory. Trust me, they're saying the factory is worth $20 billion for the state.
Worth of jobs.
Yeah.
And
so,
all that. Well,
yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Texas would have given the money. Had we been able to get the factory, I've got a feeling we'd have written the check.
Well, we are out of time today, but if we didn't get a chance to answer your AutoFlex Leasing fan text, you can call AutoFlex 817 or 972-234-1234. They've got people standing by right now who can help you out. Or you can go to AutoFlex.com. You can also do it from your smartphone. Check out the Facebook page and be sure to like us and follow along with all the stories we talked about. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Lane for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm out of place.